Someone's recording.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for all your help.
Parshas Va'akel starts off with the dinim of Shabbos. And we know that on Shabbos, there are lamates ovis melochas. The 39 categories are melochas that are prohibited. So the Gemara raises the question of Masechah Shabbos, how did the Tanoim arrive at this magical number of lamates? That how did they know there are 39 melochas? So one Tana is of the opinion that it sounds like he's of the opinion that it's learned that from the Gematria. That the word Eila Hadvarim, Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos, it introduces the din of Melechah Shabbos. Aleph Lamed He is 36, and Dvarim is plural. So Miu Rabim Shnayim, so that means 38. And the Hey Hayidiyo adds on another one, Dvarim Hadvarim Eila Hadvarim Eila Lamedes Melechas Shosru Chachamim. The Pnei Yeshua Masechah Shabbos raises a problem. That the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and the Mishnah appears, this line is repeated again in the first perek in Maseches Chagiga in Mishnayos, the parparois, that gematrios are only parparois lachachma. It means that a gematria, like over here, Eile, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, adds up to 36. Gematrios are a cute thing. It's a remez, but it's not from the Midrash HaTorah in Reshespam. So how can the Tanaim learn how to drink from this pasuk? So the Pnei Yeshua thinks that this is only an asmachta. This is not a legitimate limud. So how did the Chachamim establish that there are 39 malochas? So another Tana is of the opinion that if you count up how many times the word malocha, maleches, malachto appears in Chumash from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Devarim, it appears 39 times. And that's a legitimate midah shatar and adveshes. When you add up how many times the word appears, I would have thought that's also an asmachta. So the Gemara says, no, gematriyos, that's parparos lachachma. But to add up how many times the word appears, that's a legitimate midah. There's a machlokes hatanoim, how many hadasim do you need when you tie together the hadasim and the arabis and the lulav? So we usually assume you need 3 hadasim. Other tanoim say, only 1 hadas is sufficient, you only need 3. Where does it come from, the idea that you need 3? Because in the Chumash it says, ulakachtim lachem. And it says, anaf, eitz, obus. Anaf is in the singular, one twig. But because it says 3 words, anaf, eitz, obus, so one Tana says that means that you need 3 hadasim, and it's ma'akeh b'dievet, and it's a din d'oraisa. You have other drushas like that also. The Gemara says, how do you know that when you bring a korban chatas that you need 4 zrikas on the mizbech, and how many zrikas on the akev? So the Gemara says, add up how many times the word Vizarak also karnos, karnas, karnas, karnos. You add up how many times the word karen. Karen means the 4 corners on the top of the mizbeach. The big cubes, ama, alama, alama, is the karen in each one of the 4 corners of the mizbeach. You add up how many times the word karen appears and so on. So the Gemara had, this is a legitimate midah shatar and reshes man. So one Tana says, that's the mocker for the magical number 39. You add up how many times it says from Bereshis till the end of Dvarim, Malocha, Malocha, Meleches, and Malachto, adds up to 39. The problem is the Mefarshim ask Akasha, they're more than 39. So how do the Gemara say they're 39? So there are different opinions. Which of the Malocha, Malachto, Meleches, which ones you're discounting? So there's a long discussion about Mendel Kasher, who did a lot of work on the Torah Shlema years ago. He put out a sefer, Divrei Menachem, and in his, he has a big section on Hilchos Shabbos. So he has a long essay where he quotes the different opinions, which of the Melocha, Melachta, Meleches are you discounting, and which ones do you count? But the Pashtus is that we don't really learn it out from the Gematria of Dvarim HaDvarim, Eila HaDvarim, nor do you learn it out from how many times the word Malocha Malachto appears. It's just the Gemara says, whatever was any major activity that was necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan is considered a Malocha. Ach, that's the Gemara, the first daf in Bava Kama. Ach, da'av im Mishkan chashi b'kar alei, av, ach, da'av im Mishkan chashi b'kar alei tol. So you just make a list of all of the major activities that were necessary for the Asiyas HaMishkan. It turns out, b'mikra, it turns out that it's 39. But not that you start off with the number 39 and you're trying to figure out which they are. you establish which ones they are because they were important in Asiyas HaMishkan, Achta B'Mishkan Chashiv B'Kor Eliyahu, and then it comes out, the Mikra, it turns out that happens to be 39. The Gemara seems to have another din that is learned out from a Gematria. If a person is Mekabel Naziris, so Naziris has to be in units of days. He can be a Nazir for 100 days, for 200 days, for 300 days. He can't be a Nazir for less than 30 days. If a person says, Hareni Nazir for a week, he has to observe Naziris for a minimum of 30 days, and then he brings the Karbonis at the end of the Naziris. So that's called Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. Person is Bekabel on himself, Hareni Nazir, and he doesn't say for how long. So we assume Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yom. So the Gemara Maseches Nazir, in the first parak, discusses it. How did the Tanoim know that this din is true? Some people make a mistake. They think that Naziris has to be in units of 30 days. He can be a Nazir for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. That's not correct. He can be a Nazir for 30 days, 35 days, for 40 days, 43 days. Can't say I'm a Nazir for 43 and a half days. Has to go in units of a day. So if a person says, I want to be a Nazir 43 and a half days, he has to observe Naziris for 44 days. Goes in units of days. So the Gemara says, how do you know that din? That's Dam Naziris Shloshim Yom. That's the minimum. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk in Parshas Nazir in Parshas Naso says, Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Peresar Rosho. And the word Yihyeh, Yihyeh Begematria Tlosa Nahavi. Yud-Hei is 15. Yud-Hei is another 15. 15 and 15 is 30. So there, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis HaMaseches Nozir on the first Perek that that's only an Asmachta for this reason, because you never establish any halachas based on a Gematria. I think it's not right that in the elementary schools in America they place so much emphasis on Gematrias. They hack all the children, everybody has to know all the Gematrias. The Gematrias are not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Bem. It's all a cute thing. Parparois LaChochma. If you eat too much ice cream, you get a bellyache. You should feed meat and potatoes to the children instead of feeding so much ice cream. The Gematrios is Parparois LaChochma. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. Then it says, Lo Sivarech B'chol Mashvasech B'yoyim HaShabbos. So the Tanoim raised an issue over here. Why was Havara mentioned? There are 39 Malachs. Havara is one of the 39. What's the significance of mentioning Havar? So Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has a very interesting suggestion in his commentary on the Chumash. He says, we always recite, when we say Havdolah, Metzoy Shabbos, we recite the Bracha, Borei Me'ori Ha'esh. Why do we recite the Bracha Metzoy Shabbos? So the Gemara says, because historically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon how to control energy that comes from fire on the Tzoy Shabbos. Adam HaRishon was created on Friday of the Sheshes Mei Bereishis. He was created the last day of the Sheshes Mei Bereishis. And then he sinned and it was chased out of Gan Eden and he thought the world was coming to an end. And then at the end of Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how to use fire. So if all of the Malachas are supposed to be Zechel Ma'ase Bereishis, that when, so to speak, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he did 39 major activities. So Havara was not one of them, because he taught Adam HaRishon how to, this how Rabbi Hirsch suggests. Havara was not involved in Asiyas HaOlam, Briyas HaOlam, because the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't teach Adam HaRishon about fire till Matzoy Shabbos. So one might have thought that only such melachas are aser as what the Ribbono Shel Olam used for the purpose of creating the world. But the Eish was only created on Matzoy Shabbos, so that's why the Pasuk has to mention Eish. It's a strange pshat. I mean, the Baruch Hashem didn't use Eish in creating the world. He didn't teach Adam HaRishon how to harness the power, the energy from the Eish to Matzoy Shabbos. But it does mean that Eish didn't exist before the Bria. Eish could be, it did exist. And the piyut for, I forgot already, I don't have a siddur. And the piyut that's recited, I think, for Shabbos, Parshas Parah, we mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we use 39 verbs. Bria, Yitzira, Asiya, so many different 39 verbs. So the commentaries explain that it's Mukhubin Keneged, the 39 Malachas, that when the Rebbe Hashem created the world, he used the 39 Malachas. But the Gemara says that the 39 Malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. The Torah says one parsha next to the other, we have to observe Shabbos and we have to construct the Mishkan. So the Smichas HaPsukim, it's more than once. And in Vayakal it appears more than once in the Chumash. So the Smichas HaPsukim, the juxtaposition of the two Psukim over here, is to teach us that all the major activities that were necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan are considered Avos Malachas. That's how we established what the Lamedes Avos Malachas are. In fact, Igmar points out that the phrase Malachas Machsheves never really appears in the Chumash in connection with Shabbos. It appears in Parshas Vayakel later in connection with Asiyas HaMishkan. When they were constructing the Mishkan, they had to build everything in such a fancy way. Malachas Machsheves, that's in chapter Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So the Gemara says in Chagig, in the first Perek, that the term, the concept of Malachas Machsheves never really says on Shabbos. It really says it on Asiyas HaMishkan. But we learn out from the Mishkan to Shabbos because we establish all the 39 Malachas by looking at the Mishkan. But that's how we know that in Malachas Shabbos you need Malachas Machsheves. What do you learn out from the Malachas Machsheves then? From this concept of Malachas Machsheves by Malachas. So first of all, you learn out that you only chayv on a Malacha if you do Mesaken. If you do a Malacha, that's Mekalkel, so you're not chayv. Because it's a lack of Malachas Machsheves. What about Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa? So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Is there an Issa Deraisa or merely an Issa Derabbanan if one violates a Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa? So most of the Rishonim pass on the Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is mutam and atar, it's only forbidden with the Rabbanan. The Rambam and the Balamor paskan like the other Tana, that like the Tana Rabbi Yudah, Machlokes Rabbi Reb Shimon. So the Rambam and the Balamor paskan that Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is an Issa Deraisa, but we don't accept that opinion. We really, most of the Rishonim paskan like Reb Shimon, the Tana Reb Shimon, that Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanan. So that's a major Machlokes Rashi and Tesis that's repeated a few times in different Mesichtas and different Gemaras. Where did Reb Shimon get this wild idea from? That if you do a Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa, he dig a ditch, a chofa guma venus achela lafora. He digs a ditch not because he needs a ditch, he needs granulated sand. So by digging a ditch, he takes all the sand out and he takes it somewhere else. But he doesn't plan to use the ditch that he made. So that's only an Issa Derabbanan. Now Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is only an Issa Derabbanan. Where did they learn this out from? So Rashi understands, based on a Gemara in Chagiga in the first parak, that this too, this din of Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is also learned out from the concept Malachas Machsheves. You have to be Misakein, and if it's Mekalkal, you're not Chayiv. And this is not called Misakein. If it's a Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa, it's lacking in the Tikkun. Tosfos disagrees very strongly with Rashi. Tosfos says that Rashi is wrong, and they claim they have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Gemara Taka. Gemara Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Gimel says like Tosfos that even in a given Malacha, even if you're Mekalkal is Chayiv, but it still has to be Tzricha L'Gufa. But if your Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa is a detail within the din of Malachas Machsheves, you need Mesakein, and the Tikkun has to be in the Gufa, though, Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa. So how can the Gemara say, even if Mekalkal is Chayiv, you still need Tzricha L'Gufa? According to Rashi, Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is a subcategory of Mekalkal. It's considered lacking Malachas Machsheves. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that according to the Tana Reb Shimon, the Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is mutam in Atar, it's that kula is not based on the phrase malachas malsheves, it's dumi de mishkan. Just like in the days of the mishkan, they did the malachas in such a way that they needed the outcome of the malacha, it was a tzvich legufa, so to on Shabbos, it's only malacha if it's tzvich legufa. So that's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether malacha tzvich legufa, according to Reb Shimon, his part is that also derived from malachas malsheves, or it's a separate mokum. What's another din that's learned out from Malachas Machsheves? If you do a Malacha Kalachayad, if a person is a righty and he writes with the left hand, it's going to be sloppy, so that's only the Rabbanan. The Issa Deraisa is only if you do a Malacha in the normal way. If you do a Malacha Kalachayad, not Chayiv. Just like if you do a Malacha Bimbekalkal, you're not Chayiv. So do melacha aydei shinoi. If it's aydei kalacha yad, then you're not going to be chayiv misa. It'll only be a nisa derabbanan. There is a Rashbam in Baba Basra, where the Rashbam, where the Gemara is talking about one who carries on Shabbos. So there is a series of Mishnais in the middle of Masechta Shabbos. It's more than one parak, around a parak and a half, lists off by Hoitzah, when you carry something from the Mishus HaYachad into the Mishus HaRabim, how big does the item have to be that it should constitute the malacha of carrying. So the Mishnah has long detailed lists of items. If you carry metal, how much of a volume does it have to have? If you carry wood, if you carry plastic, if you carry hay, did you carry Michael Adam, did you carry Michael Behema? And it gives you a lot of boring details. If you carried water, if you carried wine, how much do you have to carry in order to be chayv? So the Rashbam writes in Cheska Sabatim and Baba Basra, because the Gemara quotes one of those Mishnais, that if you carry less than the shear on Shabbos, you're not chayv misa because it lacks malachas mashelis. That's an interesting comment that the Rashbam makes. Some of the recent Svarim write as if the Rashbam came up with this idea. It's not the Rashbam's idea. The Rashbam's just quoting, it's a Befeirush Gemara in Zvachim. It's the last line in the Perek right before Zeh Mekayman. So the Gemara, the last word in the Perek is Malachas Machshevus. Also a third, that if you carry less than a shear, it lacks Malachas Machshevus. The question is, does this idea that if you lack the shear, it lacks Malachas Machshevus, so it's Mutam and HaTorah, all this is only going to be the Rabban, is that only by Hoitzah? Does it even apply to all the other malachas? Every malacha has a shear. So what if you do a different malacha, less than the shear? You also say it lacks malachas machshevas. So the Prima Gadim wants to say that this Gemara that says if you do less than the shear, you lack malachas machshevas, only applies to Hoitzah, because Tosfos writes on the opening Mishnah Masechta Shabbos to begin with, Hoitzah is a malacha grua. From all the 39 of us malachas, when you learn Mishnah Shabbos, there are 24 prokem in Shabbos. So the Masechta begins with the dinim of Hoitzah. The wealthy man lives in the house and the poor man is in the street. The poor man stretches out his hand and he asks for a handout from the wealthy man. So the wealthy man puts money in his hand or he puts food into his basket. So the Mishnah starts off by discussing Hoitzah. One is only a violation of Hoitzah if you did Akira and Anoche from one Rishus to the other. So the... Tosfos raises the question, there are 39 malachas. Why does the Masechta begin with Hoitzah? So Tosfos says, because Hoitzah is a malacha grua. It's the least significant of all of the malachas. All the other 38 malachas, you're changing something. You're planting, you're plowing, you're planting, you're harvesting, you're watering this stuff. You're causing a change in the world. You wash clothing, the clothing was dirty. You sew together cloth, tofer, korea. You're always doing different malachas. You write, you erase, you change something. Hoitzah, it's the exact same object that it was before. And now, before and after, it's the same. Just moves it from one location to the other. He didn't really create a new thing. He didn't make anything new. Usually when you do a malacha, there's a chiddush. You came up with some new item. So tzechel of maisa bereishis, we want to reminisce about the fact that Hashem created the world in Sheshes Mei Bereishis, 7 days, and on the seventh day He rested. So we rest, we don't do malachas. But Hoitzah, when you move an item from one Rishus to the other, it's a malacha grua. You really didn't create any new item. So Tosfos says, the Tana, Rabbi Yehudah Anasi, wanted to give chizuk to the prohibition of Hoitzah. There are people who don't violate Shabbos, but Hoitzah they carry. They leave the handkerchief in their pocket, they leave the keys in their pocket. If you have an Erev, there's no problem. But if you don't have an Erev, you're not allowed to carry anything, even though it's not a major contribution to the world. You're not changing anything in the world. Everything, it's really a malacha grua. So that's what the Prima Gadim thinks, that when the Rashbam writes in Cheskes Abatim, that if a person does Hoitzah on Shabbos on less than the Kashir, it'll be, the Rashbam writes, it'll be, it's mutam and ator because of lack of malachas mashevas. So several of the Svarim write, they think that that Rashbam is in disagreement with the Rashi and Masechus Shabbos. Rashi says if a person does tochein on Shabbos less than a kashir, so it's a chatzi shir asmanatur. Rashi talks about Melechus Bishul or kotzer, whenever a person does pochus mekashir, so Rashi applies the rule of chatzi shir asmanatur. So others say, how can you say chatzi shir asmanatur if the Rashbam is right, and the Rashbam is just quoting a Gemara in Zvachim, if the Rashbam is right, then less than a shir lacks melechus mashevis, so all the melechus less than a shir have to be mutter. How can you say chatzi shir asmanatur if you're lacking melechus mashevis? So it's not by definition, it's not a melecha at all. So, but the truth of the matter is, Rashi can't disagree with what the Rashbam wrote. Even though Rashi writes that a chatzi shir asmanatur, he can't disagree with the Rashbam who says that if you carry less than a kashir, it's a lack of melechus mashevis. That's a gemar. That's the gemar in Zvachim. So it could well be that there's no contradiction over here between Rashi and the Rashbam. It can't be, because Rashbam is quoting a gemar. That's a gemar in that's the gemar in Zvachim, that if you carry less than a shir. So that's what the Prima Gordim says. Haitzor to begin with is a melacha grua. So if you're going to carry less than a kashir, then we call it a melacha grua. It's not a melacha at all. You have to carry at least the minimum of the shir. Chatzi shir asmanatur applies to the other 38 melachas, but not to haitzor. So again, getting back again. So Rabbi Hirsch had his suggestion about why the Torah singles out havara. It's problematic what he answered. And he himself knows that Tanoim gave two suggestions. Why was Havara, Lesivara Esh, why was Havara mentioned explicitly in the Chumash? So the Tanoim have a big machlokes. So one Tana says that Havara Lelav Yotzas, that in last week's Sedra, the mitzvah of Shabbos was given Kodem Matan Torah, because when the month came down, 5 days a week, and then it came down on Friday, so a double portion came down on Friday because they weren't allowed to carry them on Shabbos. So they were told already before Maamad HaSinai all about the mitzvah of Shabbos. So why is it repeated again in Parshas Kisisa, beginning of Parshas Kisisa? The answer is it had to be repeated to say that there's Koris and that there's Misa. Whoever is Mahal Shabbos is Chayv Koris, and there's even Misa. Misa's Bezen. So the one time is of the opinion that Havara was mentioned explicitly over here because Havara lalav yatzas. Unlike all the other 38 malachas, that if you violate the malacha b'mezid, you chayv skila, you chayv chatas, if you violate malacha b'shegeg, if you violate b'mezid b'hasra, then you chayv misa, and if it's b'mezid b'li hasra, then you chayv kares. So the Pasuk tells us, this Pasuk singles out Havara Lalav Yatzas, that there's neither Koris nor Misa. There's only an Isa Lav. We don't pass like that. We pass when Havara has Koris and has Misa also. But that's a one time is of the opinion that Havara Lalav Yatzas, that one is only in violation of the Lav, and one is neither Chayiv Misa nor Chayiv Koris on it. The question is, if you hold like that, we don't hold like that, Tana. If one would have held like that, Tana, it means that Havor is not a Malacha at all. It's a separate Iser, like Tchumen. You're not allowed to go Chutz of Tchumen. Tchumen is not a Malacha. That's why many Rishonim are of the opinion that even if you hold like that, Tana, Rabbi Akiva, that Tchumen is an Iser deraisa, it doesn't carry over from Shabbos to Yontif. The only things that are prohibited in a Yontif are Malachas. But Tchumen is a different Issa. The Rambam writes, Tchumen is an Issa deraisa on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, but on Yom Tov it's only Asam and the Rabban. Why? Because it can't be an Issa deraisa. It's not one of the Malachas. So the same thing, that's the question. If you hold Havara, the Lav Yatzes, there's no Koreis and there's no Chatas, just it's an Issa Lav. Yeah, so that's one Tana is Alipin. So Taisa has one sheet that Havar Lalav Yotzes is Mutar on Yontif, beginning of Psachim. Taisa has that. Shmamina Tlas, Shmamina Havara Lechalak Yotzes, because if the Din would have been Havar Lalav Yotzes, would have been Heter Gomer on Yontif. You wouldn't have to look for a Heter, Echel Nefesh, Amitoich. If Havara Lalav Yotzes is not a Mloch at all, and it doesn't carry over to Yontif. So the Minchas Chinuch and other Achronim ask on Taisa, how can they say such a thing? Even if you hold Havar Lalav Yotzes, the Pashtus says that it's still a Malacha, he's still not allowed to do it. Still also because of an Issa Malacha, even though there's no Kores and there's no Misa. So again, one Tana says, why was Havara singled out? One Tana says, Havara Lalav Yotzes, teacher is only allowed, there's no Kores and there's no Misa Bezen. The other Tana thinks that that's ridiculous. There certainly is Kores or Misa Bezen, yeah. There certainly is Kores on Misa's Bezen, even on Havara. But why was Havara singled out? Is Havara lechalak yotzes. What does it mean? If a person eats chele b'shoigeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. How much chele does he have to eat? B'shoigeg a kazais. What if he eats two kazaisim of chele b'shoigeg behelem echot? He didn't realize in between the first and the second kazais that he's supposed to get... let's say the person eats two kezaisim of chelev. So if he eats one kezaisim of chelev b'shoigig, he's chayv chatas. If he eats two kezaisim of chelev b'shoigig, he's only chayv one chatas, not chayv two chatas. Unless he ate a kezais b'shoigig, then no dalo. He becomes aware of the fact that he ate chelev b'shoigig. Then he goes to a different restaurant a month later and eats steak in that restaurant, then he finds out afterwards that he ate chele b'shoigeg. So if it's b'shtei halomas, if it's in two different halomas, then you chayv two chatos. But if it's shnei kezeis chele behelem echad, he eats in the same restaurant all the time. And every week he eats a steak there, and then after many weeks he finds out that every single week they serve them steak with chelev. They never bother to take. He always eats the same part of the behemah, and that part of the behemah always has chelev in it. So the din is you only bring one chatas in such a situation. But here by Shabbos, if a person does kotzer and kosev be'alem echad, then yechayv two chatas. That's called chiluk malachas. That if you violate several malachas all be'alem echad, if you got that at Shabbos, your watch stopped, or your watch jumped ahead, or whatever, so you thought it's Erev Shabbos or Metzoy Shabbos, and it really was Shabbos, and he violated more than one malacha, so the din is he has to bring two chatos. One chatos for one malacha, one chatos, or if he violated all the 39 of his malacha, he has to bring 39 chatos. That's called chiluk chatos. If he violated several malachas, so then he has to bring as many korbanos as the malachas that he invited. That's called chiluk malachas. Yeah. The Gemara says that there's chiluk malachas l'Shabbos ve'in chiluk malachas l'yantiv. What do you mean l'yantiv? L'yantiv, if one who does malach on yantiv is not chayv kores. So what's the issue whether there's chiluk malachas l'yantiv? It means like this. The person plans to violate five different isurei yantiv. And we warn him in advance, don't do malach on yontif. These five activities that you plan to do, the plans to plant and to harvest and to write and to erase and to dye something, all things that you don't do on yontif. So what if they warn him in advance? Don't do all these activities because they're five obvious malachas and we're going to give you five times malchus for this. So the Gemara says, there's chiluk malachas l'shabbos and chiluk malachas l'yontif. On yontif there is no chiluk malach. Yeah, so that's a shaila, why not? How come there's no chiluk malachas on Yontif? Why is only chiluk malachas on Shabbos? What would you say about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is dinuk in Shabbos, or Yom Kippur is dinuk in Shar Yomim Tovim? So this Rav Kook, who has the discussion of this? Baruch Tam in Frankel has in his Sefer Baruch Tam, he has a discussion of this. He comes to the conclusion that it's not Shabbos versus Yontif, and you have to decide whether Yom Kippur is Dinuk Shabbos or Yom Kippur is Dinuk Yontif. the chilek really is not so much Shabbos versus Yom Tov. The chilek is Kores versus Malkus. With respect to Yom Tov, there is no Chatnos, because there's no Kores. So the only thing you have on Yom Tov is Malkus. So with respect to the Malkus, you should get Malkus every time, several times, because he violated several Malachas. So we say you don't give him several times Malkus, he only gets once Malkus. Unless they want him in between. Let's say he's planting a little bit, they say, don't plant on Yom Tov, we're going to give you Malkus. I don't care, give me the Malkus. Then they want him again. Don't plant another thing, we're going to give you Malkus again. He says, I don't care. Every time he's about to plant something, they want him, don't do that. So if they keep on giving Hasra, each time he'll get Malkus many times. He'll get Malkus according to how many times he said he's stepping down from... I'm half asleep. What did I say?
Every time he did it, he will...
Let's say a Nazir is drinking wine. So a Nazir drinks a whole bottle of wine and it had 10 revias of wine in it. Shaila, how much wine does the Nazir have to drink in order to get Malkus, a revias or a kazayis? That's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah Nazir. So let's say a revias. Let's say Agma Sekh revias. So he's drinking a bottle of wine that has 10 revias in it. So if he's about to drink the first cup of wine and they say, Al Tishta, because you're going to give you a Malkus and it has a revias, and he drinks it, he says, I don't care, and he drinks it. Then he's about to drink a second cup. He has 10 different cups of wine, and each cup of wine has a revias of wine. So if they say, Al Tishta, then he's like it many times. What if they said in advance, don't drink the whole bottle of wine because it has 10 revias of wine. If you drink the whole bottle, we're going to give you 10 times Malkus. So that's a question. That's a question. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos quotes an idea from the Yerushalmi that even in that case he'll get 10 times Malkus, and it's a question in the Rishonim whether we really accept that or not. So let's say on Yom Tov, the person is going to violate all the 39 of his Malachas, and I warn him in advance. Don't do, he has all the 39 activities lined up, he's going to do first, second, third, fourth. I say, don't do all this. If you do all this, you're going to get Malkus for each one. You're going to get 39 times Malkus. So that's what the Gemara says. There's only Chilik Malachas l'Shabbos. There's no Chilik Malachas l'Yom Tov. So that's what the Baruch Tam raises the question. Is it a difference between Shabbos versus Yom Tov, or it's a difference between Malkus and Chatos? Maybe Chilik Malachas l'Shabbos only makes sense with respect to B'Shegeg. It doesn't make sense with respect to B'Mezid that you should say that there's Chilik Malachas l'Shabbos. The question that the Baruch Tam raised was, is it Shabbos is different from Yom Tov? Then you have to judge whether Yom Kippur is Dinik Shabbos, Yom Kippur is Dinik Yom Tov. But you say, it's not Shabbos and Yom Tov are different. With respect to Chatos, you say there's Chilik Malachas. So on Yom Kippur, if you do Malacha B'mezid, this Chorus, if you do Malacha B'shogeg, there would be Chilik Malachas. But with respect to Yom Kippur, if you do the Malachas B'mezid, you get Malkus. So for Malkus, there is no Chilik Malachas. Maybe that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, you're talking about Chilik Malachas vis-a-vis Chiluk Echatoes. So on Chatos, there are Chiluk Echatoes. But on Yom Tov, there's no Chorus, so there's no Chatos. So the question, how many times Malkus is going to get? So Chilik Malachas doesn't apply to Malkus. So that's what the Baruch Tam thinks. That would there be a din of Chilik Malachas on Yom Kippur should depend that he violate the Malachas B'mezid or B'shogeg. If he violated B'mezid, and we're discussing whether he give him many times Malkus, that's what we said. There's no Chilik Malachas L'Yom Tov. With respect to Malkus, no din of Chilik Malachas. But with respect to Malacha B'shogeg on Yom Kippur, respect to Chatos, then you would say there is Chilik Malachas L'Yom Kippur. Anyway, this is the famous Machlokes HaTanoim. Why was Havorah singled out? Is it because Havorah lelav yatzos? There's no There's no kores and there's no misa. There's only a lav, and that we reject that opinion. We hold it's not correct. And even with it, that opinion, those are the two opinions in Tosfos. Does mean the avora is not a malach at all, so it doesn't apply to yontif. Only 38 malachs and avoras and isa, like tchumen. Tchumen is an isa on Shabbos. Doesn't according to the Rambam, man of Yisham doesn't carry over to yontif. What do you say? No, Havar is a malacha, and it's also on Yom Tov also, just that it excluded from Koris and from Misa. Anyway, so we don't accept that opinion. We assume that Havar lechalak yotzes, to tell us the din of chilak malachas. The Gemara raises another question over here. Why does it say, lo svaresh b'chol mashvesechem? Chol mashvesechem sounds like wherever the Jews live, whether they live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Loretz, this then applies b'chol mashvesechem. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first perek, raises this issue. It's, Shabbos is not one of the agricultural mitzvahs. The mitzvahs ha'tuyos ba'aretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't apply in Chutz Lo'ed. But Shabbos is what we call a chavis ha'guf. It's a chavis gavra. So why do you need a pasuk to say that it applies b'chol mashvesechem? Of course it's b'chol mashvesech. So the Gemara raises that question. So the Gemara explains that the term mashvesechem sometimes has the connotation of Moshe Bezdin. So that's what the pasuk means. That even though administering sreifas baskoyin is a mitzvah, Mises Bezdin, skiva sreifa, Herek Chenek, sreifa is one of the mitzvahs of Mises Bezdin. But you're not permitted to administer Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. Even in Bezdin, even if Bezdin wants to administer Havara for the purpose of Mises Bezdin, they're not allowed to. So what would have been the Havminas? The Gemara says, if it wouldn't have said B'chol Mashosechem, I would have constructed a Kal V'chaymer. There are two kinds of Kal V'chaymer. So there's a Kal V'chaymer, Tosfos calls this Yesh B'chol Masayim Mona. If A is greater than B and B is greater than C, so automatically A is greater than C. So if we have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that if a person murdered somebody else, mi'im is b'chitik achen alomus, even if he's the only kohen around in the Beis Hamikdash to be marked with the korbanos, we have to give him the Mises Bezdin. And even though it means that we won't have an opportunity to be makir any karbonis for a couple of days, because he's the only kohen around who can be makir karbonis. So the Gemara says, you see from the pasuk that Misas Bezdin, it's such an important mitzvah, it's greater than the mitzvah of hakrobas kol karbonis. Even though there's no one else to be makir the karbonis. And we know that sometimes karbonos are so important, they're even Deche Shabbos, the Tmidim U'Mesafim, a korban shezmana kavua, what we call a korban tzibur. What it really means is a korban shezmana kavua is Deche Yantav, a korban shezmana kavua is not Deche Yantav. So again, so the Gemara says, if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C. So the Gemara says, if you know that Misas Bezdin is so important, it's Doche Akrobas HaKorbanos. And Akrobas HaKorbanos is sometimes Doche Shabbos. Korban Tzibur is Doche Shabbos. So it should come out that Misas Bezdin is Doche Shabbos. A is greater than B, B is greater than C. It comes out Misas Bezdin is such an important mitzvah. Not only is it Doche Akrobas Kol HaKorbanos, it's Doche Chatos also. So how come it says, you're not allowed to lo svaresh b'chol mashvesechem? You're not allowed to administer Mrs. Bezdin. Shabbat Gemar said, that's what the pasuk means. I would have established based on this Kal V'chaymer that Mrs. Bezdin is Deicha Shabbos because it's a Kal V'chaymer. If Mrs. Bezdin is Deicha Akrobas Kol HaKorbanos, may Mizbechit Tekehen Olamos, even though he's the only Kohen around who can be Makar with the Korbanos. So it should certainly be, so Mrs. Bezdin should certainly be Doche Shabbos, because the Hakrobas Korbat Tzibur is Doche Shabbos. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that you're not allowed to. The question is, what does the pasuk tell me? So that's what the Avnei has a famous comment on the Rambam. Avnei says that I would have thought that A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so A is greater. I would have thought that A is greater than C. So here also, I would have constructed this Kal Vachomer to teach me that Mrs. Bezdin is Doicha Shabbos, because Mrs. Bezdin is such an important mitzvah. So Kamash will on the Pasuk that it's right, it is correct, Mrs. Bezdin is Doicha Shabbos. And if the Bezdin will administer Misa Bezdin, there won't be Chayv Misa, there won't be Chayv Kores for being Mechal Shabbos, because it was really Mutter, but it's a separate Isa, Shelo La'anish B'Shabbos, not to administer any punishments on Shabbos. That's the teretz that the Achronim say to the Rambam, the Mogen Avraham asks on the Rambam counts as two separate Lavim, not to do Moloch on Shabbos, not to administer Misa Bezdin on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham asked the question, what do you need a pasuk not to administer Mrs. Bezdin on Shabbos? The whole thing is just based on a mistake in Hagamina. I might have thought that Mrs. Bezdin, there's no Mrs. Bezdin. Huh? I would have thought Mrs. Bezdin is Derech Shabbos. I have a pasuk that is not Derech Shabbos. It's not Derech Shabbos, so of course it's also. Why did the Rambam count it as a separate lav? That's the Mogen Avraham's kasha. So that's what several Achareinim answer, that the Kal Vachomer is correct, that the Mrs. Bezdin is Derech Shabbos, and if the Bezdin will administer Mrs. Bezdin on Shabbos, then won't be considered Mechal Olei Shabbos. But it's a separate issue, Shalom L'Ha'anish B'Shabbos. That's why some Achareinim say, you're not allowed to put somebody in Cherim on Shabbos, even though there's no Melacha, because putting a person in Cherem is also an Oynish. Rabbi Soloveitchik even had a suffix, what about to make a person pay Knas on Shabbos? If you're paying money on Shabbos, that's Tilta Muktzah. The money is Muktzah. But let's say the Bezdin will force the person, that's Nisa de Rabbana. Let's say the Bezdin will force the person to pay without handling any money. He'll pay with Metaltalim, he'll pay with something else, pay with Svar. So is he Oitzeh Dechiyuv? You can pay a debt with Shavu Kesev. There's an Issa Derabbanu Shalom Lefraya Chayiv B'Shabbos Egzer Hashem Yichtov. You may write it down that you paid up the debt already. But Rav Soloveitchik raised the question, maybe if Bezdin forces a person to pay the Knas on Shabbos, maybe that's a violation of Shalom Laha'anish, because payment of a Knas is considered an Onish. Or maybe on the other hand, maybe it's an Onish, but it's not an Onish Aguf. It's not like Malkus or Miso or Cherem. Cherem is a curse that the person should drop dead. So that's really Shalom L'Ha'anish B'Shabbos to be Matal Cherem. But let's say they're just going to make him pay a Knas on Shabbos. That's also an Oynish, but it's not an Oynish Aguf. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik was Mesupik. Would there be a violation of this new law according to the Rambam? Shalom L'Ha'anish B'Shabbos. Would there be a violation if the Bezdin forced him to pay a Knas on Shabbos? The Gemara talks in different places about Gzeirah D'Rabbah, that the Minotaurah, one is obligated to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and one is obligated to shake a lulav even if the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. But the Rabbanah, they prohibited because of the Gzeirah D'Rabbah, Gzeirah Shem Yavarena Dal Aramis B'Shus HaRabbah. So Rashi and Taisus and all the Rishonim raise an issue. Why does the Gemara say Gzeirah Shem Yavarena Dal Aramis? Should it say Gzeirah Shem Yotzienu? Maybe he'll take the lulav or the shofar out from his Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim. Why did they only say Gzeirah Shem Yavarena? So the Rishonim give different suggestions. Why the Gemara's lashon was only Gzeirah Shem Yavarena? So there's a Rashi. Rashi says the reason why they didn't say Gzeirah Shem Yotzi, because the fellow won't be chayv mishum haitzor, because he picked up the shofar or the lulav and the Rishus HaYochid thinking he will be able to do the mitzvah. He knows how to shake a lulav, he knows how to blow a shofar, and then he tries and he realizes he doesn't know how to shake a lulav. doesn't know what bracha to say, doesn't know how to blow a shofar. So we're afraid, Shema Yelech Etzol Baki, he may go to a person who's an expert to teach him how to blow shofar, or to teach him how to say the bracha over the lulav. So Rashi says the Gemara didn't say Gzeirus HaMiyotzi, because when he picked up the lulav, or when he picked up the shofar, he didn't have a mind to take it into the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, if a person did Hagbah on an item not intending to carry it into the street, and then he changes his mind and he carries it into the street, he makes Anocha, the Gemara says that you're not chai, because Metchila, when he did the Akira, he didn't have a mind to do a Haitzot. So that's what Rashi says. The reason why the Gemara said Shemei Avarena, the Gemara didn't say Shemei Yotzi, because it won't be chai Mishim Haitzot. Because the Akira wasn't told us to carry it out into the street. So Tosis says on Rashi, so for the same reason, he shouldn't be Chayav Shemi Avirena Dalar Amos B'Shus HaRabim. If he'll carry Dalar Amos B'Shus HaRabim also, when he picked it up in the first place, he didn't have a mind to carry a Dalar Amos. That was the kasha that they ask again, that all the Rishonim ask against Rashi. So there is a Tosis Rishonim. Where Tosfos gives a very surprising answer. They say, what is the source, what is the makor in the Chumash for that din? That if a person picks up an item not intending to carry it into the Rishus HaRabim, then after he makes the Akira, then he plans to take it into the Rishus HaRabim, then he won't be Chayv Misa. What is the makor? So some of the Rishonim say the makor is Malachas Machshevas HaSotar. We were mentioning before all the different halachas that I learned that. The phrase Malachas Machshevas never says by Shabbos, it says by Malachas HaMishkan, but the Gemara derives from Malachas HaMishkan that you need Malachas Machshevas by Shabbos also, because that's how we establish which all the Malachas, which are all of the 39 Malachas, whatever was a significant activity in Asiyas HaMishkan. So the Rishonim ask on Rashi, if that's the reason why there's no Chashash Shemi Yotzienu, so there should be no Chashash Shemi Avirenu either. So the Tosfos Rishonim gives a very interesting answer. Tosfos says that the Pasuk Malachas Malshevas only relates to the 39 Malachas that are included in the Pasuk. Which are included in the Pasuk? Whatever the 39 activities that were important for Asiyas HaMishkan. So when the Torah says don't do Malacha, it refers to that. But the Isser of Mabed Al-Ramas B'Shus HaRabim, the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, the first daf in Perek HaZorek, that wasn't really in the Mishkan. So that's not included in the Pasuk of Lasasa Kam Lalacha. That's, the Gemara says, Gemara Gemiri Lo, as if there's a separate Halacha Moshe Mesinai that whoever carried the Al-Ram Shus HaRabim is Chayv. But since it's not really part of the series of Malachas, so it's not governed with the rules of Malachas Machshevas HaSvetar. If something is a Malacha, whatever was in the Mishkan is a Malacha, and whatever is a Malacha is subject to the rules of Malachas Machshevas. So if he did the Akira not planning to remove it to a different Rishus, then it doesn't count as an Akira. But for the purpose of Mavad Al Namas Pirsam Hilchas, since it's Gemara Gemira Law, Hilchas or Gemira Law, so it's not really based on the Pasuk of the Mishkan. So it has nothing to do with the Mishkan. So it doesn't require, Mavad Al Namas would not require Malachas Machshevas. So therefore, you would be chayv even if you didn't have a mind from the very outset to carry it chutz ledal haramos. That's a very mechudish de geshita. It's a very extremely mechudish de geshita. That by mabed al haramos b'shus harabim, there's no problem. There's no issue of a lack of malachas machshevas asoter. It's a big chidush. The pashta says that that is also governed with the rules and regulations of malachas machshevas. How can you say otherwise? The Pasuk says, Kol Nadiv Liboy Yivienu. So the Gemara points out that there's a concept of hafloa. Hafloa means something that's chal ayidei dibur. Person takes a neder or a shvua, is magdish something. So that's called dinyan hafloa. Person is mafresh truma, magdish karbonis. That's called isha isha ki afli linda neder nozir lahazel Hashem. Rashi writes yafli parley balaz, means to speak, ledaber, to talk. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, nefesh kisu shavu shvua, and say levate bisvasayim. So the Gemara says, if a person accepts a neder or a shvua balev, it's not binding. He has to pronounce it. He has to commit himself with it by speaking, by saying so. That's levate bisvasayim. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule where you don't require levate bisvasayim, even though the matter that we're working, that we're talking about, should have been an inyan of haflah. So one is the Gemara says when you magdish something, because the pasuk says kol nediv lipo, he will donate it in his heart. So you see, if you magdish something, believe it's chal. And the other exception to the rule is truma. That truma should have been an inyan of haflah. We should have required davke dibur, but because there's a pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach that says v'nechshav lachem trumaschem, so the simple pshat in the pasuk is that when the Leviim get ma'aser rishon, they have to take out ma'aser min ha'ma'aser and give it to the Kohanim. Ma'aser min ha'ma'aser is like truma mamish, like challah, like truma, like bikurim, shemechod with bikurim and with challah. So the pasuk says v'nechshav lachem trumaschem, when the Leviim give the trumas ma'aser to the Kohanim, that's considered just like Kadogen Menagor Mechamneim Menayekim. It has the exact same status as the truma that the farmer is mafresh. So the farmer is mafresh 2% as truma, and he gives 10% of what's left to the Levi as Maiserishin. Then the Levi takes out 10% of what he just got. He takes out 10% of the 10%, and he gives it to the Kohanim as Maisa Menamaisa. So the Gemara says the simple reading of the pasuk v'nechshav lachem trumaschem kadog min agor mechamleim min hayakev, that the ma'ase min ha'ma'ase, the trumas ma'ase, has the exact same status as truma gedolah. That's the pasuk pshat. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk v'nechshav lachem trumaschem truma nitelus b'machshava. If a person has 100 bushels and he has in mind, each bushel has a number. He has in mind bushels number 1 and 2. I want to designate as truma gedolah. So the Gemara says that truma is chal b'machshava. So this is also truma. Truma is chal b'machshava. When they're collecting money for the yeshiva, that's also truma is chal b'machshava. That's what we assume, that stock is chal b'machshava. Hekdish is chal b'machshava. Stock is chal b'machshava. So these are the exceptions to the rule that even though all in yoni haflor need amira, but truma is chal b'machshav and hekdish is chal b'machshav. These are the two that are chal b'machshav. There is a Gemara in the Dorim on Daf Tezvav. The Gemara says if a person has a personal minhog, he has a beautiful minhag toiv, so minhag is binding mitam neder. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Shitas Balei HaTosfos. That's what it means. A minig is binding mitam neder. So if a person observed the minig once and he plans to continue the olam v'od like that, if a person observes the first three occasions in a row, he has an opportunity to do something one way or the other way, he chose to do it in Midas Chasidus way. So we assume that's the equivalent of taking a neder. Minig is mitam neder. Aye, but there was no levate b'sosayim. So the answer is that just like hegdish is chal b'machshav, so to a minig in stock is chal b'machshav, because that's an exception to the rule. So a minig toiv also is chal b'machshav, because we consider it also like a dvar hegdish. But this is only b'med dvar ma'amur. That's what the Gemara says, that a minig is binding mitam neder. There is a din medirabon. It means medirabon, we treat it as a hegdish. But that's only if it's taka minik toiv. But the Tosfos writes on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, that base of Manala, that a lot of times the community has a minhag shtus, and they think they're obligated to observe. And he says, the binding force of minhagim is because minhag b'tam neder. I bet a neder needs levate b'sasayim. So the answer is, we treat, if it's a minhag tov, we treat it like hegdish. Is it take such a holy minhag? We have a lot of times minhagim are not so holy. So the whole heter only applies it. The whole obligation to observe, not a heter, the whole obligation to observe a minig is based on the assumption that a minig toiv is like hegdish. So, and hegdish is chalba machshava. But if it's a minig shtus, a minig that doesn't have the approval of the Talmidei Chachamim, so then we say a minig is, not binding. It can't be binding. It's only binding if it's a midas chasidus, that we treat it like hegdish. But if it's a minig shtus, it's not a midas chasidus, so it's not binding at all. These are some halachas that the Gemara has on the opening psukim in the Sedra. Later on in the Sedra, there's also a famous pasuk that the Tanoim have a comment on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ru Kor Hashem B'tzal Ben-Ur Ben-Chur. Pay attention. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to appoint Bezalel in charge of Asiyas HaMishkan, and he wants to have your input, whether you approve. So the Gemara said, what do you mean, whether we approve? If the Ribbono Shel Olam picked Bezalel, so we assume he's probably the best one for the man. So, well, who are we to argue? So the answer is no. He did. Answer is no. When they appointed Bezalel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Bezalel to be the chief craftsman, the chief artist over here, to make the whole Mishkan, this was considered a Srora ala Tzibur. And the Gemara says, we learn that from the Pasuk, you cannot appoint a person to a position of leadership in the community without the approval of the community. Here you're going to appoint Bezalel in charge of all of the craftsmen to make the Mishkan. There was a community project, all of Klal Yisrael was involved, and you have to have the approval of Klal Yisrael. Either the Ribbono Shel Olam knows best, if the Ribbono Shel Olam picked out Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, so what do you need more? And Mar says, no, you still have to have the approval. Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam picked out the Malachim, he said we have to... Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam picked out these people, Bezalel and Aholiyov, to make the Mishkan, but still, you're not allowed to appoint them to a position of svara over the community unless the community approves. Every so often you have a yeshiva like that, so they appoint a menahel without consulting the rabbeim, or they appoint a top Rosh Yeshiva without consulting the rabbeim. The top Rosh Yeshiva is, or the menahel, is going to be in a position of leadership over all the rabbis. So the din requires you have to have the approval of the people over whom he's going to be leading. And it's not right. A lot of times they don't consult. They hire a new person to run the office. They don't consult all the secretaries. They don't consult all the other people. That's the din. Whenever you appoint a person to a position of authority over others, you have to have the, and the other people were there already from before. The other people are there from a long time ago. So then you have to consult them to make sure they have the approval of the whole, of all the people over whom he's the partners. I apologize, I'm so exhausted, I'm half asleep now, and I wasn't able to prepare a shiur on Bava Kamma, and I was only half able to prepare something on the parasha.